got a really cool TVA t-shirt yesterday as an extended birthday gift. It was really, really cool. Thank you, Morgan Jones.
You are so welcome, DJ Ambush. And I appreciate you saying extended birthday gift. It was really, shipping is really something else right now. Yeah. One could think that maybe we were having a quarantine or something and packages just don't get shipped the way they used to.
Right.
Or a supply chain issue, you know?
Right.
The way that I ordered things and they came 1 million days later. But they came. Also, you know, I'm just going to throw this out here. We always know there's an issue with people that think that there's unskilled labor, right?
Yeah, of course.
I always imagined that it would be hard to be a postal carrier because cities are weird and there's, you know, so many different streets and things and, you know.
Also, the demands of the job. We'll get your package to you, rain, sleet, or snow, or whatever the thing
is. Oh, like, certainly.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. I don't know. But then I realized, oh, like, people have routes. And so it may have been tough in the beginning, but then they get their route down. And maybe you're lucky enough, you know, to get to know your post person and chat with them. I used to get to chat with my post person.
Yeah.
Miss him very much. It's the only way we got all our mail.
He was on it, man.
He was on it. And we live in a little weird place. No one can find us now. I don't know what has happened. They took us off the map or something. I have these very detailed instructions. And we are back to things just, nope, we tried, couldn't get it to you.
Yep.
Or we delivered it. You're welcome. And it's at somebody else's house. And it's just absolutely not the same address. But thank you for the picture so that I can track it down in my neighborhood.
So cool.
So yeah, so some of Ambush's birthday gifts are, you know, nearly 2 weeks late. But you got something.
But you know what they are?
What?
They're 2 weeks great.
Oh, look at that. Boom. There were a couple of things that I was excited to see you open. And the one I was most majorly excited about was the first thing that you opened the other night.
I'm not spoiling it.
Okay.
So you guys see the photo. I'll take a photo and I'll put it on our News with My Fiance Instagram.
So thank you. Please get more content. More content.
People can say the greatness.
You're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
Getting in there.
Did you guys like our pinky video yesterday? We had some fun.
We did. It's amazing how many meetings we're in with each other, too, right now.
Yeah, sure.
So that was just the end of a meeting. Like, hey, you want to do this real quick? Yes.
See what's happening.
So anyway, good morning, fiancés. How are we today? What's happening? Mm-hmm. What are the things? What's going on? We have lots to talk about today. Yeah. I don't know.
I thought you were going to jump into it. No, we do have a lot.
Well, no, because normally we talk a little more.
Yeah.
I didn't want to
check in.
Didn't want to jump the gun.
I mean, I do like the overall theme for today. You know, the dangers of unseriousness and positions of power.
I feel like that's our theme all the time.
That's true. But how often are we talking about Drake when we do that? For anyone just joining the show, is definitely Drake-centered. You will. New album, we'll be reviewing it for all the dogs. We will not. I lied. This is not that type of news outlet.
Isn't it?
I don't know. We gotta get.
I mean,
interview with DJ Envy or something.
Excuse me?
Never mind. Never either mind.
Okay, no, because I'm gonna have to say this now that you have spoken that name. Now we have to say, number one, my name is Morgan Jones, and I firmly stand against every and anything DJ Envy related.
True.
Cannot stand that way. Like at all. There's just a disingenuous, like, he just looks like a disingenuous Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh, I guess.
And now he's tied up in a Ponzi scheme.
You know, capitalism is wild, right? Like, you really want to have some money. You want to flex. You want to floss. You want to be a landlord, not a trap lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Saying that as DJ Envy is a DJ and also a six-figure making
radio personality.
Not the reason I hate him either, guys, just so you know. Yeah. Get your bread. Except for when you're stealing it from people. So,
yeah.
I don't know if Envy really was fully aware of the Ponzi. Unsure. Mm-hmm. Kind of find it hard to believe that he wasn't aware in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, there's no way he wasn't at least at one point saying, Caesar, how exactly does this work?
You know what? I disagree. I think at no point does he not say, hey, Caesar, somebody has told me, someone came to me and told me that you did not give them the return on the investment that they were promised. What's going on? And then, however, whatever, you know, whatever he gives him, then he's like, okay, got it. Thanks.
Okay.
And leaves it at that.
I hear that. I want to bring into the analysis the Northeast Coast hustle man mentality.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you're getting it. I need to know how you're getting it. Even if it's thinking I can outwit you or make this hustle even better.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing? Like, I got a flip for you. Word, tell me about it. Like, how's this? You know, I feel like either way he's culpable.
Yeah, no.
So if he's going to accept some of the, like, the scenario you gave.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Okay. Well, that's but willfully, like, yeah. I think that a lot of folks that are adjacent to a big scam, I think they know something's up, right?
Scam adjacent.
They're scam adjacent.
Yeah.
Like in this specific scenario, I think one, you put some blinders on because all of a sudden you're finding success in a thing that you didn't do before.
Mm.
And so you have enough money to be able to invest in what, you know, an investment property, and you're going to do all this. I flip houses now for, you know, huge returns, which is the other thing to me. When somebody says, hey, invest 200 grand in this torn down, beat up house that we are going to just completely renovate in Paterson, New Jersey.
Because the whole neighborhood's going up right now. And a lot of people can't see that. Like, we're 2 or 3 years ahead of the curve.
Right.
So we get in now.
Get on the ground, baby. We are the gentrifier starters here in our own neighborhood.
Who knows better than us? These are our neighborhoods.
Indeed.
Uh-huh. Placate that greed.
When you're going that route, and then you start, right? And you find some success, you're going to put some blinders on how that worked out. It's just like, I didn't do this thing before. Now I do this thing and it's working. And look at all the money I'm getting. So swimming in it. And then you realize, this seems a little weird. How can I keep getting like 30% return in such a short amount of time?
Right.
Now, friends, fiancés, I am what we call a poor. I do not have investment money.
A poorzy.
I do not have, I'm not out here just, you know, checking my portfolio all the time.
Yeah, we ain't them kind of fiancés.
No, we are not.
We ain't no ball of fiancé.
One day, you know, we'll be
heavy. Maximum effort out here.
If only we had put in maximum effort, we would already be incredibly. We'd already be Scrooge McDuckin.
All right.
And when I say that, I want everyone to understand. Just I'm backstroking into the quint.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Mean backstroke.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was going.
You were saying you wanted to make it clear to the fiancés that you are a poor. We are under the poverty line.
Yes, and we do not. We do not have these investments out here that we are like, oh, and it's working. And my portfolio and my financial advisor said, you know, like, that's where I'm going. And so I'm not going to pretend like I know everything about investing at all.
Right.
But I know everything about a Ponzi scheme.
I'm a Ponzi scheme official.
I am an expert. Deep dives all the way in, because I, you know, it's very cult-like behavior to me. It's you just absolutely have to suspend reality in order for any of it to continue to work. The first, you know, one, two times you don't get your money back.
And you know what I'm gonna say to you? giving it a cult-like framing is very important for people to understand how someone can get swept up in a Ponzi scheme. Because you don't have a, like, strict or rigid, or, like, your religious relationship, your relationship to religion is, it's almost a tangential, but that's not what I meant. It's not a strong one, right? You didn't grow up in the church.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it wasn't every Sunday, or, you know, you went with grandma. You went with grandma when she asked you to.
Forced.
Easter. No, you don't have
Mother's
a choice. Mother's Day. You're there.
There's a few other ones that were like, this is absolutely happening.
Right?
Her birthday, always. Right. Yes, that is always where I spent her birthday in the beginning.
When you have a religious relationship, no matter what the specific religion is, there's a, you know, this huge requirement of belief and faithfulness and, you know, just blind acceptance
of what you're being told.
And the rewards are unseen rewards that will happen in some future time. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen in heaven. You got to keep putting in. You got to earn your rewards. You got to da 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 da. So I've always, not always, I got to a point where I was able to recognize recognize religion for what it can be.
Okay.
And all the negatives that are used as a system of oppression. System of oppression.
Indeed. A tool.
So it's even like more disturbing when you watch people from our community or minorities preying on each other with these white collar schemes, and knowing that how much more susceptible we are because of our relationship to religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, you.
Dang.
You taking the church's money. You using the church to take the church's money. Like, deaconess don't got this money to be invested in. Like this, you know, like,
yeah, but somehow, some way, we renovating, baby.
Man,
well, so where I was trying to go real quick is that that suspension of reality that you know, that's the part that is very intriguing to me, because I even have a hard time with like sci-fi things. I really enjoy it, but I have to ask again, like, what are the rules? Like, I got to get grounded in some of this is just like not, how am I supposed to go with this?
Right.
You know, very much the same in the scary movies. Like, we just watched one that had not what I was talking about.
Boogeyman.
Indeed. Had me on the ropes. I'm gonna tell you that.
The ropes. There were some jump scares.
Were some jump scares, and just the, you know, the premise, this is the thing that comes and gets your kids when you're not paying attention.
Right.
Which means in this instance, it was like, there's a lot of grief. There's a lot of guilt and shame and, you know, a parent who doesn't know how to communicate with their kids. And those kids end up feeling like they're on their own. And don't get me wrong. They definitely were.
They were on their own.
But I need the rules. I'm like, okay, so you can travel everywhere, or you are in houses, or you need
to start with the rules.
You know, you can build, but you know, that it's just not universal. It's not like you can just take those rules that are in Candyman apply them to Boogeyman, right?
So transferable.
They're non-transferable. So there's a reset that happens for me all the time. Like, I have to be like, Morgan, be quiet. You don't need to try and solve this puzzle
now. Give it to you. Yeah, like, at your face.
But it's this real quick. It's this thing of, it's the same people that will say there's no such thing as a free lunch. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You get serious, you know, like, go to a few seminars, get some information, go make that money. Those are the same people who are expecting a 30, 40% return on their investment in 3-4 months. Again, I say, no guru over here. But that definitely sounds a little too good to be true. And if there's no free lunch, what do you call this? That's what I was trying to. Also, are we on? Like, are any of you listening?
I was going
to
say.
Just wondering. Good morning. Fiancés don't want to have an attitude about it, but like, hi?
You landed that plane.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for listening to News with My Fiance. We did a good job today. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Okay. You want to?
I say, what are we going to talk about today? You let me know what is happening in the Portlands of the Oregons.
Okay. In local news, Multnomah County said, trust the process. And blame the front office, the back office, the middle office. I don't know. But all
every
I know
office.
Is, every office. All I know is they lost a grant that they received in order to provide transportation and augment sober services for Portlanders. And they lost that grant because they didn't get started on the work.
Like yet at all? Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. Also, Salem Kaiser Public Schools promises bold action after a third, count that, 1, 2, 3, sex abuse complaint against teacher. And reports of downtown's demise are greatly exaggerated. We got some good news about some great happenings downtown. Can't wait to share that with you, especially a day after there was a shooting downtown. So it's important. Yeah, balance. Balance.
In global news, I want you to get, liberated. I want you to be free. All people should do that. But not like this, maybe. Maybe not like this.
Maybe not like that.
Just kidding. One state, two state, never mind. Apartheid. We will be talking about the Israel-Palestine escalations in violence. It might take a while, too, because I feel like, the coverage gives us, it lacks a lot of context and lacks a lot of history, and those things are incredibly important.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to say, shout out to everybody that's texting right now, because I feel like if I wouldn't have asked if you were there,
well,
we
got some responses to that.
Yeah.
Was dead air for a little bit, but you've been on since a few minutes past.
Thank you, fiance.
Boom. There it is.
Rudo said WWE's The Boogeyman is a scary guy, Morgan.
Oh, my God.
Good morning from your Rudy.
Rude.
Good morning, Rude.
Local news. Here's what I came for.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
Hope we do a good job with that one.
Listen.
Today's a little, lofty.
Yeah, local news heavy. For sure.
And I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I would love a music break.
All right.
Come back, dig into the goods.
Let's do it. And we back. Welcome back to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. That's 971-220-5979. I definitely feel like I rushed through it that first time. I was just zooming.
You've done a great job with the follow-up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We got some more text. Good morning. So many layers of grief going on. Fear it how fascism and war interests are gaining ground on the bodies of Israelis and Palestinians who don't wield power.
And mention that the good part of that is in quotes. Because
yeah,
good luck at it being good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that text, because everybody deals with grief in different ways.
For sure.
And I just want to preface that when we get to this topic, there's nothing in us that means to be insensitive. There's nothing in us that means to be provocative. Even this is our take on most things. No, our take in all things is rooted in liberation. So,
facts.
I may seem a little straightforward. I may seem like a little unemotional. It is very emotional for all involved.
Yeah.
But important for me to mention that never at any point is it meant to are we meaning to harm in any way, or, you know, just what's the word, ambush? I don't know why I can't think of any word better than we don't mean to be insensitive. But I am at the point of this is just fascism is taking over in too many ways. And if we can stay rooted in what is the most humanitarian thing to do, there are different ways to handle and solve these issues. Okay. I'll be quiet now. I appreciate it. We also got another text that said, woke up early to hear y'all. Hey, what up, AJ?
What up? What up, dude?
I'm going to text you as soon as we're done here. Sorry, I forgot to text you back.
Crystal.
No, Crystal is not here.
Crystal is here.
Oh. Crystal is here with the sweetest kitten picture. Oh, I think.
Look at him.
Pretty sure both of the teens would just be losing it to see that right now.
Look at that. Oh, snugged up.
Crystal says, good morning, fiancés. Love y'all. There's so much context missing from Israel coverage. This isn't a war. It's a pummeling. P.S. Here's Black Cat Bacon loving on his foster brother.
Oh,
we got to find a way to take these, like, you know, the attachments so that we can post them on our stories.
I'm going to figure it out. That's a cute photo. That's a very cute photo.
Hey, just got another one. Oh, I know. I'm so excited to hear from you. Another text real quick, and then you can jump into your story. Good morning, fiancés. Sorry I wasn't present last week. Want you to know that I always listen later if I miss you live. And I appreciate the call out for not texting last week. Unfortunately, you all missed my birthday last Friday. No way!
John.
I'm here and always listening. John.
John,
we love
birthday.
You. Happy belated.
Straight up.
Do you and the grandbaby do a joint birthday party sometimes?
That would be awesome.
Or do you guys secretly share it together and then you get to have two? You know? Like,
oh, I want a joint birthday party with the grandbaby.
Okay. I need you to not talk about wanting grandbabies.
Hey, guys, get it together. All right. And just throwing it out in the universe.
Ambush.
Huh? Not like for now, but like when the time comes.
Oh, my.
You know? Just trying to, you know. Yeah. You know, no, listen. Just,
not even a little bit. Let's move forward. Thank you.
I do not, as a Black man, I do not appreciate
anything.
You trying to shut me? Wow. Wow. Okay. In local news.
Happy Thursday.
She said anything. That's going to be a great clip. Okay. So in local news, you want to hear about something really cool that's happening downtown?
I really do.
It's called Movies on Morrison. In a creative and community-focused initiative, Prosper Portland is set to transform vacant storefronts into vibrant, on-the-go theaters with a special program called Movies on Morrison. From October 11th to November 8th, a delightful array of Oregon-made films and TV shows will come to life, providing a unique cinematic experience every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
This creative endeavor aims to engage the Central City while celebrating Oregon's thriving film industry. The program will feature a selection of notable productions, including Laika's The Story So Far, the James Beard Award-winning All the Homies Network, and the NBC Universal's beloved series, Grimm. I love Grimm. These screenings are set to take place at 206 Southwest Morrison and 301 South East Morrison, conveniently timed during the lunch hour from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You want to say something about Grimm?
No. I was going to say something about how... Is that simultaneous? I'm sorry, I missed the...
Yeah, are the shows simultaneous?
Like it's the Southeast and Southwest at the same time. Shout out to that.
Yeah.
No way you can miss it, baby. Both sides of the river.
Boom. Booyaka. Kimberly Branham, the executive director of Prosper Portland, expressed her excitement for the series, highlighting its role and showcasing the diversity of Portland's creative, local TV and film community. Branham remarked, "We're excited to see these events spark additional engagement and support of local businesses in the Central City as we head into the holiday season. In addition to captivating screenings, attendees will have the opportunity to savor local flavors food and drink giveaways from businesses such as Deadstock Coffee, Beyond Canyon, Heyday, Portland Coffee, and Poplandia will be an integral part of the experience. Attendees can further enhance their viewing experience by using their own headphones or those thoughtfully provided by Heartbeat Silent Disco. That's tight. As this exciting program unfolds, Prosper Portland also promises to unveil additional screening locations, promising more captivating cinematic moments for the community. Movies on Morrison presents an innovative approach to reinvigorate vacant spaces, celebrate the local film industry, and foster a sense of togetherness within the heart of Central City. So mark your calendars for these enriching cinematic Wednesdays. It's every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I love the shift from what we were doing outdoors as the weather permitted.
Yeah.
To something indoors that people can engage with on their lunch break.
What I'm excited, or what I really like about the lunchtime experience mm-hmm. being given is when, you know, you guys were a part of that in the way of outdoor events. One, the variety of events that happen.
Yeah, for sure.
I did not make everyone, but I did make it to a couple. Mm-hmm. And every time I was there, it was not just engaging and lots of people there and an array of folks, you know, people on their lunch break, mm-hmm. houseless folks wondering what's going on over here. You're in my living room. What happened? Playing some tunes.
Cool.
Nice. Got some food. Very nice.
Right.
It was each time just a really great experience and really gives you the idea of or the feeling that you're not actually like totally whacked out and in a silo and like,
right.
No, everything's fine in the city. We don't think that.
Right.
But it is not on fire. And
say what?
I know. And for all of the things that are happening, you know, that people have an issue with from their vehicles or from the suburbs. not the, you know, it's just like get involved, be out there and you will see that it is not what, you know, all of the pages that are here just for engagement, just for negative engagement.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what they're doing. There are people in cars filming other people struggling, and then they are giving a narrative to it. They are also not getting context for stories, not waiting for a full story to be had, and they're just throwing everything on it. Oh, that's drugs, that's violence from a homeless person.
How does that benefit you?
And then you find out, well, that was not the case.
Certainly not the case. And also, like, for these pages to be like, we're doing this for the sake of the people. They deserve the truth.
Well, I'm the one with the real compassion. Yeah.
And how else are we going to turn things around? Well, who do you think this benefits? How does this make people feel good? Like, where's the hope? Where's the solutions? Yesterday, one of these pages posted some photos from the shooting that happened at 10th and Alder. And in one of the photos was the person who ended up losing their life at the scene. And like, they posted the photo of this person still on the street. No police blanket over him.
See,
nothing.
This is the thing when you can't tell me I'm a journalist just because you have an Instagram page.
Right. And then,
because you wouldn't do that if you were a journalist. You would not have used that photo.
Imagine being in the position to have to defend it. Once people start calling you on it, then you lean in even harder and you're like, well, look, this is just what it is. You shouldn't try to shield your eyes from the harsh realities.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe seeing this will move you to do something.
You know?
What? Again, I have a job. I got a job. I'm doing stuff. Other people have jobs. And part of being, you know, a part of the political process is we vote for other people to do their jobs. And they're not doing their jobs. But you're telling me you need to show me in order to justify disrespecting this person's family. I need to be aware of these things so I can be activated for change. I have voted You are not holding these people accountable.
Like, at all. Vote for them.
And
so,
you vote for them.
LOL. Like,
save it. But yeah. Yeah.
That ambush, and then also the fallacy there in that if you see it, you'll act. I, at one point, thought maybe that were true, too. I was incredibly young and naive about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would offer that there's hundreds, hundreds of Black people killed by the police that would have like to have a word with you about that. Like, we need to see it. How much violent death do you need to see to move or act? Think that through. Because what we're watching is, you can just keep it coming. Doesn't matter to me. Keep it coming. Literally, the world watched a police officer kneel on someone's neck for more than 9 minutes. And what came from that? People saying it wasn't real. People saying absolutely not. That's the guy from Cash Cab. This is a psyop.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? You need to see it to move, to act. What are you doing then? You know, where's the action? Because I feel like you're in opposition.
for the truth that this is poppycock, balderdash, if you will, is, you gave a very good, you know, common example of seeing police killing Black and brown people on camera.
Just no problem. Wills and nils.
Do police kill white people on camera?
Yeah. I mean, they definitely do.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Where is the outrage within that community towards that? This is what I'm saying. Like,
it's rugged individualism, ambush. They don't even need, I don't know her. I don't know him. And they probably were homeless.
We are so apathy deficient, like across the board, right? Like,
apathy deficient or filled with it? Because I feel like people are apathetic.
You're right.
Like,
I meant empathy deficient.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Thank you for correcting that.
Yeah.
People were probably like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. The raised eyebrow in the car when you're listening right. Listening
apologies
to, like, wait,
to anyone
what?
That may have swerved out of their lane. Because I, you know, like, and it's across the, like, no, we don't need to see more of this. We don't need, like, It's like it's dancing on some really sadistic stuff here. Like,
yes,
I need to show you more and more. This is like Saw 12. No, we don't need more. We need the people whose job it is to solve these issues to just do their job. One, or two, resign so someone else can do the job. But don't keep wasting our time.
I mean, aren't these the same people that be like, video games are too violent? We can't, you know, that's the reason the youths want all the guns and blah, blah, blah. But then you're going to tell me that come over and look at this dead body real quick?
Right. Come on,
man. It should make you do something?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Not even a little bit.
But shout out to Prosper Portland. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to Vita and Kalor.
Yes.
Hello, producers for this series. They're amazing. We worked with them for the summer series. Got it cracking. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, shout out to those organizations. Shout out to the local businesses downtown that have been sticking it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that who they themselves have been doing little things indoors, outdoors.
Engaging
the community. And, you know, just
not running from the issues outside of the door.
Right. Yeah.
Real quick, we got a text that says, aggressively apathetic is my bottles the mind. It does, in fact, bottle the mind.
It is my bottling, Rudolph.
You know? Puts that mind right in a bottle.
Early inside.
Should we just jump right into the next local? Just handle that scandal real quick?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to find it. I said that, and then I wasn't prepared. I see. Yep, there we go. All right, bear with me, friends, because I did not read this story. Ambush did. I know nothing.
It's good. I know nothing of this story.
I may get shocked as I'm reading this. Here's my point. Salem-Keizer Public Schools promise bold action after third sex abuse complaint against the same teacher.
Same teacher, yeah.
We head to Salem Kaiser Public Schools, where allegations of sexual abuse involving a former teacher at McNary High School have emerged. That's crazy. McNary. Shout out, Roberta. last month, a lawsuit was filed in Marion County accusing former teacher Josh Rist of sexually abusing two of his former students at McNary High School. The lawsuit alleges that this abuse took place between 2015 and 2020 when Rist worked as a music and choir teacher. Mm. The situation has taken a new turn as a third complaint against Rist was filed. I mean, how are you? Mm. Salem Kaiser Public Schools received this complaint on September 29th, just 2 days after the initial lawsuit was filed. Oh. In response to these allegations, Rist was placed on administrative leave on October 2nd. The Kaiser Police, as well as the Teachers Standards and Practices Commission, received the complaint on October 2nd, while the Oregon Department of Human Services was informed of the complaint on Monday. In response to these allegations, Rist had been placed on administrative leave during the sexual misconduct investigation that took place from May 28th, 2021 to August 18th, 2022. Mm-hmm. That is a lengthy investigation. Subsequently, he was moved. No. See, I told you I was going to get shocked. He was moved to
Calipuya
Elementary last fall. The new superintendent of Salem Kaiser Public Schools, Andrea Castaneda, has taken a strong stance on this matter. In a district video, she expressed her belief that Rist should never teach again. Superintendent Castaneda assumed her role. Sorry, I totally lost my place. Assumed her role on July 1st and was briefed about the allegations on her first day, but did not receive detailed information until September 27th. She urged elected officials to change the law that currently allows relationships between teachers and students to commence only 90 days after a student graduates.
Wild.
What?
Wild.
What?
Wild.
That's a law?
Because they had to put one in place.
Okay, there's more of the story, but excuse me.
Yeah.
That's a law?
Yep. They had to put one in place. Say, hey, guys, you got to at least wait. We know you're in love, but you got to at least wait 3 months.
Wow. Okay. Castaneda highlighted the legal loophole that allowed relationships to form after students technically graduated and stressed that it was morally unacceptable. She also mentioned that there is no reason to believe Rist engaged in any inappropriate conduct while at Calipuya Elementary. Notably, in June 2023, Rist signed a stipulation of facts document in which he acknowledged inappropriate relationships with two female students while teaching at McNary. As a result, he was suspended for 60 days and placed on a 3-year probation. This suspension had been strategically scheduled to coincide with the summer months to prevent the school district from taking employment action due to his lack of a teaching license. What? The situation is wild. continuing to develop, we will check back and see what the further action is. Excuse me, moved to an elementary school. That was like, oh, he's an upper age pedophile. Like,
listen, all I know is,
I'm sorry, they're called PDFs.
Yes.
Oh. PDF files.
the law currently in place says, hey guys, we know you're in love, keep a lid on it till after summer vacation. Next school year, you're free to love
do you boo, because you know what,
it's
you,
legal now,
you are not there anymore, and that 3-month cooling off period was to see if you really are in love.
And I don't know, this person graduated from high school. They're no longer a child. They have a fully developed brain and aren't being groomed.
I mean, certainly. You know everything by the time you graduate high school. I sure did. That's how it works, I'm sure.
Ay, ay, ay. Again, that's a lot.
How do you get 3 chances? Here's the thing. I know how you get 3 chances. But in a world where we are, you know, about to have a Speaker of the House who was just like sexual abuse. You want to rape the wrestlers? I mean, go for it. My eyes are closed.
Right.
That's how we are entrenched in rape culture. And then you say that out loud and those same men will look at you like you have 18 heads and go, there's no such thing.
Yeah. They don't believe what they're doing is a crime.
But somehow you can, the need for a law to say, hey, not yet. 3 months. And then you're good to go, buddy. What? Third allegation at the same high school.
What are we doing? The unseriousness of it all.
I mean, shout out to the superintendent who's like, we ain't gonna take it.
Right. Came right in and was like, wait, what's going on?
I really hope we ain't gonna take it, you know?
Hey.
There's just gotta be a different way to handle these kind of situations where these are the same people that will tell you, you know, you gotta ban some books because.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But definitely keep Mr. Wrist here because he loves the student. Meanwhile, you got, you know, no, I'm gonna chill.
Okay.
You got Brian Chu over here getting fired for no reason.
Uh-oh.
I guess, you know, Portland to Salem is not apples to apples.
No.
I'm saying. Salem, I want to talk to you, Salem.
Lead it to the mic.
You know, what happened? It used to be like, you know, we're cousins. Some of the things we think are the same, some we don't. You guys have become, I'm telling you,
Salem wasn't always as bad as what you're
COVID
saying.
COVID broke everybody's brains. Not everybody. But it did a number on us. And the amount of people, the anti-vax, the fact that that was even a movement, and the amount of lockdown, you know, protests, and it was amazing to me to watch what was important to folks.
Yeah.
And what got important to folks. And these are the people who were, you know, there were lots of folks out there in Salem saying, don't ruin my kids by keeping them out of school.
Right.
What about their mental health? Which I always argued, if you don't have physical health, okay.
How's it going to work?
I mean, also, if you allow for multiple infections of your kids and we just don't care and don't put a mask on them and, you know, just go handle the scandal. I mean, we literally have no idea. And definitely had no idea then just how, like, did you think that it could be a lifelong lasting thing? No, you didn't.
No,
we didn't. There was, you know, that was not the news.
Here we are dealing with it.
But I mean, imagine fighting against your kid wearing a mask and then your kid gets long COVID and doesn't have a memory when they're 22.
Consequences abound.
Yeah. It's just, you know, yeah. I don't know. I want to know what happened over there. I mean, because it can't just be what I'm saying. Like, there's got to be more to it. But, and yeah, Salem, listen, you get out of Portland and it's tricky.
Yeah.
And not that it's not tricky inside of
Portland. By tricky, do you mean Confederate flag?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, you know, a bunch of Proud Boys and Trump supporters and that
anti-vaxxers
are ready to do a riot at our Capitol because that would do anything. And then you got people in there just opening the doors to let people go in. You know, like something has happened.
Yeah. Something definitely has happened.
Ambush, we're going to need a music break.
Yeah. And then we'll come back with that global story.
Indeed, indeed.
All right.
Stick around, Beyoncés.
You don't even know. Come on, man. Welcome back to News of My Fiancé, Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Shoot us a text. 971-220-5979. Yeah, Roots had to come through with the sledgehammer.
I'm trying to decide if I self-report.
Self-report. Do it.
All right, I'm not sure what to call this. You know, I just don't know. You tell me. Uh-huh. If anybody else out there.
Okay. She wants to drag you guys into it.
I just want, you know, somebody co-sign this with me. Okay. You don't have to, though.
Everybody listen close.
What I want is honesty, always, from everyone.
Okay.
I've spent my entire life completely interchanging Peter Gabriel and Robert Palmer. They are the same.
I'm so glad this is on record. Just, God bless you and your honesty.
I mean, I'm really not even sure what to say. I don't know why they don't make the same music.
They don't.
And as soon as you put that song on, I was like, Robert Palmer. And he said, no, absolutely not. And I was like, except absolutely Robert Palmer. I can show it to you. Oh, my word. That is. And then Ambush blew my brain and said, no, Robert Palmer is. What did you say?
I called him
King of White New Jack Swing. So I was like, yeah, I do hear Teddy Riley all over that. Which, what we mean by that is Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. But anyway.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I mentioned the song.
I didn't mean to turn you on. And I said, that's not his song. That's not Robert Palmer. So, LOL. That's definitely not Robert. I have been wrong many a time. And now is one of them. Now is a big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even like there's a, you know, evil twin, like, you know how it's like you guys look so much alike, or this isn't a Dermot McRolney, you know, I don't know any of those names. There's like 17 Dermots in, you know, interchangeable. This isn't a who's your favorite Chris in Hollywood. Right. I just gave Robert Palmer, I think, all of the songs. And but I don't know. Now I can see the Sledgehammer video in my head, and I'm like, that's not Robert Palmer.
Oh my God. First off, let me tell you about I Want My MTV. That Sledgehammer video was playing. I was there in front of the TV every single time, losing my mind for it. And in my head, someone correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong. Oh. That's not what I meant to say.
They used it at one point for a promo for the TV show Sledgehammer, the cop show. And I don't know if
never
it was
heard
a
of
promo.
It. Far too young.
Like I've Googled it over and over again, thinking that at one point it was the theme. They used it as a theme song for the opening of the show. And every time I Google, you know, opening credits, things like that for Sledgehammer, it's never that song. I'm like, well, how did I? Maybe it was just like a promo for that season. Sledgehammer was like Naked Gun, but a TV show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I think back in that time, I definitely would have watched that with my dad, because we watched all the Naked Guns.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you what happened now, but...
Sledgehammer was pretty funny. It was like the other guys. It was pretty fun.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's that level. Don't go take some waterfalls. But I'm just saying it was fun.
I'm a peacock, Captain. You gotta let me fly.
You gotta let me fly.
We got a text that says, LOL, I thought you were going to say Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins. Can't help you with Robert Palmer. Which is even more fair.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah, there's definitely a twinge of the Phil Collins. I just, you know, I know Phil Collins a little more.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big sound with my mother.
Oh, my God. Take me home.
In the air tonight. Ooh. I know Phil. But you're right.
Is he sir? Is he knighted?
I have absolutely no idea.
Guys, is he knighted?
Probably.
He should be. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins, sure. Yeah.
Not Robert Palmer, though.
No. We're definitely going
to. Did everybody else know that I didn't mean to turn you on was Robert Palmer's song? Because I feel like maybe that's the more important part here. Like, what?
I think everyone knows it's a bop for certain.
If I'm on the music game show or whatever, and they do that, I'm like, no, that's absolutely a black person.
You're going to cost the team.
I lost it for us.
Yeah, you're going to cost the team some points.
Not going to make it to state.
We're going
to
lose the lead.
lost the lead.
We lost the lead, guys.
Yikes. Well.
That was great.
Now that I've done that to myself and you guys can all laugh at me for the rest of my life, I'll try and correct it, you know, get myself together. But now that I've said this out loud, I'm probably going to forever and always conflate the two.
And I think not. I think this is
I have this weird thing though, Ambush, where I put too much pressure on something for myself and then I mess it. I just over and over mess it up. It's like, ooh, which one is it again? And then I choose the wrong one.
Yeah. Understood.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
All right.
In global news.
We're doing it.
Jumping in.
I did already give that a disclaimer that it is not my intention in any way to be insensitive. It is my intention to give missing context to a decades-long violent conflict. Is not a heavy enough word for me, so we'll come back to that maybe. And it and the story's riddled with it, but know that this is not somebody moving the stapler off your desk, you know?
Right.
The Israel-Palestine conflict is a long-standing, multifaceted dispute with deep historical roots. It emerged in the late 19th century with the rise of the Zionist movement, which aimed to establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine. Tensions between Jewish immigrants and Arab residents in the region escalated during the British Mandate era. The conflict intensified in 1948 when Israel declared independence, leading to a war involving neighboring Arab states. Israel's victory expanded its territory and resulted in the displacement of Palestinians known as the Nakba. I'm going to get a lot of things wrong, so sorry. In 1967, the Six-Day War led to Israel's occupation of the West Bank, Gaza Strip, East Jerusalem, and the Golan Heights. Numerous peace efforts and conflicts followed, with challenges such as Israeli settlements in the West Bank, disputes over Jerusalem, and the refugee issue. The conflict remains a global concern, with a two-state solution, Israel and Palestine, coexisting as a central goal, though it faces significant obstacles. The most powerful nation in the Middle East is typically considered to be the State of Israel. It is highly developed and technologically advanced. It is a highly developed and technologically advanced country with a strong economy, a well-equipped military, and a significant influence on regional and international affairs. Its military capabilities, including its intelligence agencies, are among the most advanced in the region and elsewhere. Israel's military, known as the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, is well-equipped and highly trained, with a focus on maintaining a qualitative edge over its neighbors. Critics of American media coverage often accuse it of having a pro-Israel bias. They argue that this bias stems from various factors, including the historical U.S.-Israel relationship, lobbying efforts by pro-Israel interest groups, and the shared values and political alignment between the two nations. Much of the coverage is leaving out the context and calling nearly every opposing effort to the occupation either terrorist attacks or anti-Semitic. So I want to dig in to the 50-year-long occupation of the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip, emphasizing the human rights violations suffered by Palestinians during this period. The ongoing occupation began in June 1967 and has resulted in systemic human rights violations against Palestinians. Israel's policies include land confiscation, illegal settlements, dispossession, and rampant discrimination against Palestinians. Their military rule disrupts every aspect of daily life for Palestinians in the occupied Palestinian territories. Palestinians face restrictions on travel, work, access to essential services, and basic rights such as electricity and clean water. So when you hear words like occupation, colonization, oppression, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, not only are these things, you know, all a part of this, but they're also things that you would say, I do not want any part of, right? You would not support. If this were a situation flipped around, there would be no way that you were like, yeah, this actually seems legit.
Right. Shout out to Carlos. Tech says, world's third biggest military, if I'm not wrong.
Carlos who?
I don't know.
Good morning, Carlos.
I don't know what Carlos I know.
Yes, here. World's third biggest military. I mean, so much money, fam. Yeah. Sorry. I just so much money.
Propped up by our fair nation.
Also, how much training do our American police officers get from the IDF? We could just move forward right now after I said that. You
know, NYC?
Separate legal systems. So Israel maintains separate legal systems for Israelis and Palestinians in the occupied territories. Israelis include settlers, including settlers, are subject to Israel's civil law, while Palestinians are subject to Israeli military law. This distinction is seen as discriminatory, as Palestinians do not have the same legal rights and protections as Israelis. Restricted movement. Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip face severe restrictions on their movement. Israel has established a system of checkpoints, roadblocks, and a separation barrier, often referred to as a security barrier or apartheid wall, that limits Palestinian movement. This physical separation is likened to the apartheid era's past laws and segregation. Like, we knew that, you knew what apartheid was in South Africa, right? You knew that wasn't great.
Now, somehow we can't seem to identify.
What would also be a problem? Settlements. Israel has been displacing Palestinians to create settlements exclusively for Jewish Israeli settlers. Israel has built and expanded settlements in the West Bank, which are exclusively for Israelis. These settlements are accompanied by infrastructure, roads, and resources that are off limits to Palestinians. Critics argue that this settlement enterprise is a form of colonization and segregation. This is not an argument. That is that.
Right.
These settlements have led to home demolitions, restricted movement, and violent attacks on Palestinian communities. There's other land confiscation, where Israel has confiscated large portions of Palestinian land in the occupied territories, particularly the West Bank, which leaving Palestinians with limited control over their own land, often facing difficulties obtaining permits or for construction or farming. So can't do any farming, but you have also restricted my resources. Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza have limited access to essential resources such as water. Israeli settlements, in contrast, often enjoy lush agricultural practices and access to water resources, leading to disparities in living conditions, in health. Like, think about how when you are dehydrated and you haven't had a bunch of water, how's your brain work?
Right. Nevertheless, having proper, adequate sources for water for medical procedures and things of that nature.
Cooking.
Births. Like, come on.
It just leads to incredible disparities.
Right.
In living conditions. In Gaza, Israel has imposed a strict blockade that severely limits the movement of people and goods. And I think that's another thing that we can't even fathom.
There it is.
What it means for your everyday travel to, like, get to work, going through multiple checkpoints of people that are openly have open disdain. Right. There's a two-tiered citizenship. Palestinians who are citizens of Israel also face and know that that is, you might live there, but you ain't really a citizen. They face various forms of discrimination. While they do have some citizenship, they often face inequalities in areas like education, employment, and political representation. I think we know a little something about that.
Relatable.
Israel employs military laws to suppress dissent against its policies. Advocates for Palestinian rights are often labeled as traitors and terrorists. Also might know a little something about that. Multiple international law violations. The existence of these settlements violates international humanitarian law and constitutes a war crime. Openly.
Openly.
One of our best allies. Israel continues to appropriate Palestinian land and support over 600,000 settlers in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. International businesses in settlements sustain their presence by exploiting Palestinian resources, labor, exporting goods produced on occupied land, and generating profits that none of those Palestinians see. They control their water. Like, I just let that sit.
Right.
Did you see them pouring concrete?
Yeah.
So that they can't have wealth?
Yeah.
Like, that's not war. That's something else.
Yeah. I mean, think about it, right? With all the land displacement happening, the land that you do have, they're coming in and they're like, you can't have water on it. We're going to restrict your access to water on the land that we have left for you. That is sinister.
And it's like, sinister. On the land we have left for you before we push you out some more.
Right.
Speaking of forced evictions and home demolitions, over the past 50 years, Israel has forcibly evicted and displaced Palestinian communities. Demolished homes continue to this day, with Israel pushing Palestinians out of strategic areas. Taking a quick little pause for that, too. Was it a year, 2 years, 3 years ago? Can't remember when we were watching all of those people from Brooklyn taking their selves over to Israel and then colonizing Palestinian homes.
Running up in homes when inhabitants left.
Literally occupying and squatting and saying, it's mines now. Uh-uh, you cannot come back. It's mines now.
This is a real thing, guys. Could you imagine, like, it's one thing. So someone did hit us and said, thank you for this deeper context. I've been floored at how these outlets are sharing this history.
Yeah, same. Shouldn't be, right, though? Yeah. But I am. I still am floored by it.
Could you imagine watching a series on Apple Plus or wherever, Netflix, where this was played out by actors that, like, prominent actors that you recognize. Like, actors that you have compassion for the characters they've played. Like,
sure. You got history.
You got history with this guy, right? Tom Hanks and his family are on vacation somewhere.
Whoa.
Right?
It's gonna be great.
And then they come back while they're gone. You know, another family just moves into their home.
And this is not a castaway situation.
Right.
You know? They weren't, like, stuck on an island. They just, like, went on vacation real quick and came back.
Another family supported by members of a community that aren't even of that immediate community. Like, they just mobbed down. And now we got your house, and hey, man, hey, it is what it is.
What are you going to do?
Like, people would be like, first off, that's horrible. Second off, no way that's actually happening. Third off, get them out of there. There would be no one that would side with that.
I mean, think about it right now. There are multiple stories of people, like, squatting in Airbnbs, right?
Right.
Somebody has Airbnb'd their house for a week. They come back, and they can't live there anymore?
Right. Right.
What does your mind do when you hear that story? You know? Right. Imagine.
Like, a serviceman goes away. Someone's doing military service. They go away and they come back and then someone's in the house. I've heard that a couple of times.
A couple of times.
What?
So we do know something, a little something about arbitrary arrests and detention. And Israel has arrested hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, including women and children, under military orders that criminalize peaceful activities. Mass arbitrary arrests have occurred during periods of tension and violence. Tens of thousands of Palestinians are held in administrative detention without charge or trial. If you're wondering, how could they do that? Rikers Island.
Happening right here.
Happening right here, right now. Probably got it from the IDF. Inequality in legal proceedings. Looks like Palestinians tried in Israeli military courts face a completely unfair system with a high conviction rate. Israeli settlers, by contrast, have access to Israeli civilian courts with greater legal protections. And then there's the recent settlement expansions. I just have such a hard time calling it a settlement. I know what the word is. I know these people are settlers. That all sounds too nice, though.
Colonizers.
Israel has recently accelerated their settlement expansion, planning thousands of new homes in existing settlements and establishing new ones in the West Bank. And if you guys have a second to just put that in your YouTube search bar and look at the actual ads that they have running for these settlements, it literally looks like exactly what the suburbs would, you know, this is white flight. And torture is not criminalized by Israeli law, allowing Palestinian prisoners to be mistreated while in Israeli custody with impunity. Just have at it.
Because they're seen as subhuman.
So this is less of a complex issue than we are told. And that we would love to think. It's very easy to be like, ooh, too hard, can't do it. The solution may be complex. Maybe hard to get to.
Sure.
But the conflict, the issue at hand, is extra simple. This is a human rights issue. One government has immense power and the other has scraps. We can just
leave it
at that. We're not going to, but we could.
The complexity for me lies in people trying to explain why they are pro-apartheid.
Without using those words, right?
Yeah.
I stand with Israel. Okay, cool. For what? For which part?
Shout out to LeBron.
Oh.
Shout out to The Rock.
Bah.
Shout out to Barack Obama.
Man.
Who was it that posted the photo of the Palestinian children looking up?
Oh, that would be Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. It's so funny, the amount of celebrities who have nothing to say about nothing ever, and then, better stand with, I don't know, the colonizer, better stand with the people doing the oppressing, because I haven't had time to look into it, you know? And that's a really complex issue, and I just don't know much about it, but I know that Israel's under attack by these terrorists. Never in a moment are you going to even sit and think, why Hamas?
Right.
Why does Hamas exist? I was telling Ambush this earlier, in so much of the coverage, they just gloss over all of this, right? They gloss over all of the context, and it's just like, yeah, and then Palestine's first uprising. Well, what do they need an uprising for?
Right.
What happened to make them need that? Out of thin air. Like, and this has, right. This
what
is.
What are you uprising for?
Yeah. Like, I just don't like you. And if you see any of these, the shift to the hard right that has happened, I know that people like to conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. I am a firm believer that those are two very different things. And when we're talking about individual people, and we're certainly not talking about religion, we are talking about a government that is purposely and has been purposely subjugating, murdering, culling, colonizing. When you hear the people that sound like they're representing the Confederacy saying things like, just carpet bomb them, just get them out of here. And they say it real open, real loud, real proud. Those people will never like us. There will never be peace. Interesting. Where did it start? How did we get here? And if you we do understand, if there's one thing we can understand is mis and disinformation.
Yeah.
If it's one thing we can understand is being lied to by your country, being lied to by the media, being lied to by all the things that are supposed to be saying, I protect you and we're here and that, like, we can definitely, absolutely identify with that, because our own history is a figment of somebody's imagination.
Man.
And they're doing the same thing. And in real time, much like many other humanitarian and civil rights violations around the world, but like even where you live,
right?
Even with all of that, there can be a moment where you're like, I just don't know enough, so I'm not going to talk about it. It's just one of the laziest things that can happen.
I don't know enough, so I'm not going to talk about it, is a lazy thing. It's also staying in your lane.
Okay, yeah, let me say this.
Yeah.
If you don't know about it, don't talk about it.
Right.
Yes. What is stopping you from learning about it?
There we go. Nothing.
Nothing.
Computer's in your pocket.
Computer in your pocket. You're doing a BuzzFeed quiz instead. You could just hit the Googles and just start reading. I mean, don't do that. But
yeah. Don't just read anything.
Else. Yeah. But also, I mean, books are books. Books are real. Like, they're
the ones that aren't banned.
Yeah. There was something I saw yesterday. Someone was like, we really need to figure out a way to explain this issue on a sixth grade level, because most Americans do not read past a sixth grade level, which you can tell me that every single day, and I'm still going to be like, excuse me? Wow, really? Yeah. Oh, wow.
I shared a post from Aida Rodriguez, the comedian, yesterday or the day before. It reads, I think you should be quiet when you don't know what you're talking about. It's okay not to know. Chiming in with takes just really exposes you for not knowing to those who know. Trust me, no one is fascinated by your generic perspective. Sometimes being quiet is the greatest act of respect.
Real life. I misspoke when I said that's lazy. It isn't lazy if you don't know.
Right.
It is lazy to not find out. It is lazy to, in 2023, at a big age, if you are not 17 and under. I don't want to hear why you don't, maybe, you know, maybe a little older than that. But I don't really want to hear that you don't know about it. Oh, it's so complex. Well, how do you know that if you don't know about it?
Bruh. How come, that's lazy.
You know,
lazy as all.
Because to me, I'm like, how come you can know a little but none and all at the same time? There's a bunch of texts.
Yes. AJ said, not a BuzzFeed quiz. Y'all doing a great job on this segment.
Thank you.
Another text. Please remember that a lot of Jewish people support Palestinian rights.
Oh, certainly.
A few years back, some 500,000 people, most of them Jewish, took to the streets in Israel to demonstrate on behalf of the Palestinian people. That would be equivalent to 21 million people for a single demonstration here in the U.S.
Mm.
Major.
No question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I feel like, if anyone feels like we should have mentioned that off top. This is, we are talking systems of oppression, not individual people. There are so many Jewish folk who do not in any way
ride with this,
subscribe to Zionism. Yeah. They do not like this. This is not okay. Mm-hmm. This is actively fighting against it and will tell you immediately, this goes against what we are taught.
Right. Right.
This goes against our actual values.
This is not reflective of who we are.
This shift, the hard shift, right, is wild.
I was going to handle the Carlos one. He said, also, Justin Bieber said, prepaying for Israel.
And posted a photo of Palestine.
Yeah. Stay in your lane, guys. Stay on the inside of your lane. He also said, no people deserve to die, bottom line. However, I'm not in the business of blaming the oppressed.
So
that was going to be the rest of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think the U.S. should pull the mask off and do what we actually care about, which is selling arms and power. So let's give Palestine an Iron Dome and let them duke it out on equal strength so we can pick up the rubble. So we can pick up the rubble. I hate that people make it a moral issue like that's what the U.S. actually cares about.
Hello.
That's obviously not the case. If we're about morals, the same standards would be upheld for everyone. Boom.
Talk to them.
It's the golden rule, bro. Do unto others. Like, it's really basic. Who you got next?
This says, stole my words on the anti-Zionist / anti-Semitic thing. This says ethically Jewish, but I'm going to go with ethnically Jewish. Mm-hmm. I have family that their gut reaction is to be pro-Israel, especially with the history of what has happened and is happening to Jewish people around the world. But people are not the government. Boom, boom, boom. And hitting the next person because you were hit gets us nowhere. That's it. I keep asking, like, there is no question. There is no question that there has been massive persecution and subjugation and mass murder of Jewish people. Where we struggle is that the government of Israel claiming that this is to be a, you know, sort of Jewish safe haven.
Right.
What makes no sense is that you as the government are going to do all of that to another group of people in order for you to have the space that will make it so that you don't get that treatment. I hope I said that right.
No, you definitely did. You definitely did. We got a couple more texts. Saw someone share this on Instagram. A psychologist with a massive audience. The narrative and propaganda spreads like wildfire, and it's a script for starting a conversation with your kids to explain the Israel-Hamas war. Ooh. And it says, first page of it, there are no right words for events in the world that are so wrong. There are no perfect scripts to share or exact words to use. And still, during these awful times, I know parents want to show up for their kids. With that in mind, I'd like to share some ideas on how to have tough conversations with your kids. And one of the first things, there was a war between Israel and a terrorist organization named Hamas. This is someone with a huge platform. You're right. We got to find a way to share all these images because it's coming in heavy. This is great stuff. Wow. Okay.
Real quick. So this other text says, also, we cannot miss, especially as U.S. citizens who should be paying very close attention, that the increasing neo-fascism of the Israeli government is directly harming Israeli people, too, and curtailing their rights and safety. Thank you, fiance, because absolutely, this is what we continuously try and say. All of these systems of oppression, anybody who does believe they benefit from it, do not understand they are more harmed than they are benefited. And if we didn't have those systems of oppression,
right,
everybody benefits. Right. Everybody, you know, like you are, men are absolutely harmed by patriarchy. Absolutely. 1000%. Shout out to the manosphere. Shout out to not knowing what a gender role, you know, where you alpha males and all the things. That's harm to each other. You do. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But any of these systems of oppression, we do not benefit. Even if you believe you benefit, you don't.
Yeah.
And there should never be a moment where it's okay to take rights away from somebody else in order for you to have some. Where's the merit in that?
Bruh.
Another text, the end game of oppressing Palestinians include oppressing Israelis too. It's the same song across the world. This is how fascism is winning, by creating the illusion of conflict between people when it's really the ruling powers against the people. Do you need to be on our show? Also, Ambush's levels could really use a boost. Turn yourself up.
I'm sorry. I got to turn myself up and you guys snare phones.
Gosh.
Okay. So we do need to close the show out.
Yeah, I guess we should.
I want to read a couple of texts relevant to how we're going to close the show out. Rudo said, nobody had more katana in their jams than Robert Palmer.
And you're right. You're right about that.
And he gave my illustration in which I used Tom Hanks. He said, I'm explaining the verbs.
yeah, well, okay. Indeed.
And we got a text earlier in the show. Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins were both in the band Genesis. So there, you know, there's MJ. There
Wait!
It is. There it is.
Peter, get.
There it is.
I gotta go. Hey,
this was news of my fiance.
We did it.
Thank you.
Please bring in Tom Hartman. We don't even need to do the rest. Peter Gabriel was in. Oh, my word. Okay.
The show is brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. And our podcast editor, Kyle G. Thank you, everyone. Ba, 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 ba. There's more text still coming in. We're going to try to get them all in the transcript for the show.
Shout out to everybody listening. We really appreciate it.
Straight up. What up, Regis? Yeah, man. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. And none of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening.
I guess also real quick, you know, we don't like any violence at all or condone it. Bye.